because we do have shame around it. We're like, I don't like my opes. I don't like how I look when I'm masturbating. I don't want to even capture myself being sexual. But I really feel that once you see yourself actually do this and finish and completely immersed in sexual pleasure, you're going to see, oh, that's not bad. And in fact, I look really hot. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. All right, let's talk about confidence. It's something we all struggle with at times, particularly in our sex lives and relationships. From feeling insecure about our bodies to not thinking we're good enough in bed, messages from society, past partners, and our own shame can affect how we show up in the bedroom. In this best of episode, I'm giving you my top tips for boosting your sexual confidence. I also answer questions like, how do you help a partner boost their confidence? How can you hack your brain to feel confident while naked? How can you fully let go in bed so that you can experience maximum pleasure, and so much more in this episode? Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. We love when you do that. It helps us. You can do it right now. Do it right now, this minute. Just look at your app and press 5 stars. My new articles, Triple Stimulation Masturbation and How to Orgasm During Missionary, are up on sexwithemily.com. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. On today's show, we are honing in on sexual confidence and the specific tools you need to really bring it in bed, to show up as the lover that you are meant to be. But first, it's useful to look at what's holding you back sexually. What's keeping you from being the lover that you want to be? Well, we're going to address those psychological pain points. And then once we solve for those, we can work with your brain to cultivate authentic confidence, the real deal. Because there is a difference between being puffed up and fake confidence, you know, the kind that's actually masking an insecurity. You've all been there. Talking about having genuine comfort with who you are, what you bring to the table, what you bring to bed, without comparing yourself to your partner and their perceived expertise. I went to Instagram and I asked you, what do you think is the one thing that's holding you back from having incredible sex? Here's what you told me. I found this very interesting and what I've seen to be true over these years. Your appearance. You just don't love the way you look, whether it's your body, your face, your hair, your genitals. And one of you wrote me and you said that you literally hate, in all caps, your body. You hate your body. And think about this. If you hate your body, those are the words you use. You're like, I hate it. Think about how, what a challenge it might be to feel comfortable when you're with somebody else and expecting them to actually like it. Like, you're coming in all armed in hate and then like, but I want others to love my body. It's tricky, right? So that's the relationship we're going to heal today. Another one of you wrote, being self-conscious of my body imperfections. Hello, we all have body imperfections, but I know that this is a hard one. Another said, nervous about farting or smelling. I get it. Hygiene, huge issue. Another one of you wrote to say, lack of confidence due to a scar in my head from a truck accident. So what we heard here, from scars to a post-baby belly to acne to hair loss, you were all so honest and vulnerable with me on this issue, which I love and appreciate. Doesn't it make you feel a little bit more held right now? A little bit better that we're all sort of feeling a lot of these same challenges in the bedroom? The other thing you said was your communication. You just don't know how to talk about sex with your partner. And one of you wrote and said, I can't communicate what I want because I don't know what I want. Oh, this is a big one. So many of us don't even know what we want in bed. We know what's happening right now isn't quite right, but the fact that we don't know what we want feels somehow wrong on many levels, because we're like, well, how should I know? Maybe you've never really thought about it before. You've had sex with different partners and you're like, it hasn't quite clicked yet. I get that. And I wanted to normalize that. A lot of us don't know what we want. We don't know what we want month to month. It changes. It can change day to day. It definitely changes over the years what we want sexually, but really getting comfortable, even communicating in the area of saying, I don't know what I want. A lot of you just said this. You said communication is the thing that's holding you back. And one of you said, how to communicate what I want with more confidence and less shame. So these are people who kind of know what they want, but they're like, I just am so afraid of saying it. And another one of you wrote, having to admit that what I want does not align with my partner of 30 years. I hear this a lot too. You've been with your partner for a long time, so long that you feel that, how can I tell them now, all these years or all these months in, that no, wasn't really working for me? And I understand that challenge too, but really it's about, well, first recognizing it and then learning how to talk about it in a way that it's more collaborative with your partner rather than blaming them or shaming them. You just didn't know. And another way to frame it is, I thought this is what I liked, or I was going along with what I liked, but would you love to join me on a journey of us both figuring out what we both want in bed? It is so liberating. Another thing you said was that's holding you back is your inhibition. You feel embarrassed to truly let go and express yourself in the sexual moment. And one of you wrote, my inability to orgasm because I feel embarrassed being seen that way. We all feel so much shame because we can't orgasm. Another one of you wrote, I can't relax, so I fake orgasms. My partner doesn't know I've never had one with them in 13 years. Another one of you wrote, allowing my partner to see me at my most vulnerable. So before I get into some solutions, which I'm going to, I want to say just thank you so much for sharing with me what you're working on and what your challenges are. And I think this was the best way to help normalize that we're all going through different variations of these struggles when it comes to feeling more confident in the bedroom. That was very helpful and actually brought a lot more range of pain points to my attention. And so I really want to start to focus on these for future shows. Along these lines, I also asked you a second question on Instagram. What is the best thing that helped you become more sexually confident? And a lot of you gave some amazing tips and advice, and I'm going to kind of refer to some of these right now as we get into the advice. Let's just first address this, your physical appearance and being, and the self-consciousness around that. Here's some of my go-tos. They all involve you being naked and getting comfortable with it, because it is possible. In fact, I think most of us start out from a baseline of not being that comfortable naked for many reasons. We're mostly told, don't be naked in front of anyone. It's shameful. Don't love your body. Only be naked if you're married. All the messages. So we don't just like out of the gate. We're like, I'm super comfortable here. So I got that, but we're going to get you here. So one thing is nude pics, as in taking sexy nude pics of yourself, either for you privately or to share with others. I'm a champion of you taking nude pics. And it's okay to keep them to yourself, but there's something incredible that happens from actually looking at yourself naked. It can be a turn on. It can help with self-acceptance. I don't think that we look like how we think we look. I think that you're also going to get to see yourself by doing this in a sexy light. So just try it for vulva and penis owners. I mean, I even took my own pics with my partner. We were playing around. I took pics because I was feeling good. He was taking pics of himself and we shared them. It's a trusted partner. And I'm just telling you, it's something like once you look at yourself, I'm telling you, it's going to change how you feel over time. Maybe not saying the first time, but it just allows you to see like, I'm in my pleasure. This feels really good. And I'm going to take this matter into my own hands. And what I love is a lot of you said you were doing this already, which just delights my heart to no end. Lingerie, getting used to seeing yourself with less clothes on. And this is something I talk about getting really comfortable. We call it exposure therapy, but you getting naked in your bedroom, lock the door, maybe even mirror in there, and just practicing looking in the mirror, looking at yourself naked, taking a mirror, putting it between your legs also. That's another level of it. But just the practice of like, I'm going to put on lingerie that I've had or I'm holding on to. I'm going to play my favorite music and I'm going to dance around naked or in lingerie and look at how I can move freely and shed any pre-programmed notions of a quote unquote good body. Like, what is that supposed to look like? Because I think there's something amazing in watching yourself move in something that makes you feel sexy in real time. And a lot of you said you're already doing this. One of you said, I wear lingerie and I dance in front of the mirror. Now I get it. This might sound like too much for you. So somebody just walking around naked help. When was the last time you just walked around naked in your house and looked in the mirror? That is going to help you get comfortable with it when you're with a partner. I mean, think about it. All day long, we're walking around covered up with clothes on. And then we beat ourselves up because like, why should I all of a sudden be comfortable with a partner next to me? If you had some experience walking around naked, finding the angles you like and just feeling good in your body, it'd be a lot easier to slide in naked with somebody else. And the other thing about walking around naked is that you normalize, like, this is my body. My body is awesome. That's what it does for you. Another tip, find your North Stars. As in other creators in social media, it could be myself, it could be people you find on TikTok or Instagram, authors, you know, who emulate the kind of sexual confidence that you want and that are getting that positive attention from others, even while not conforming to strict beauty standards. Those are the people I want you to look for. Other people who look like you that are definitely considered hot, or you can tell feel hot and feel good in their bodies. So go find those people and internalize the positive attention they're getting, because you're just a few steps away from that. The only difference is that they've practiced turning the camera on and embodying it, and you're still sort of toying with that, but you are almost there. But definitely use these people to inspire you, and then go through and delete all the people and all the media and all the information coming in that makes you feel bad. Now, this is a pretty embodied exercise. You have to be self-aware enough, which takes practice. You could just mute them for a while and say, this didn't make me feel good today, so I'm going to mute that. And then you'll find that everything you are getting, because if you think about it, we're in a sense wiring our brains. We are programming our brains, every kind of stimuli that's coming in. If we think, well, I'm going to curate that. I want to program that so it feels good. Find your North Stars and find those inspiration. Okay, so that was all about body image and appearance that I would hope starts getting you to a more confident place. The next thing was communication. And something that you'll hear me say a ton on the show is communication is a lubrication. And what I mean about that is talking about your sex life in a normalized, comfortable way helps everyone have a better time in the bedroom. Like, I promise you, if you're all talking about sex, it's going to allow you to feel like sex is a lot more accessible and it's something that you can really share with a partner in a healthy way. But if communication is a challenge for you and a partner, I want to also normalize the fact that it's not just one conversation. Being a healthy communicator takes practice and it takes work. So like, that's the true culture of sex communication, is that you have to co-create together. You don't want to be like one-way talking. That's a monologue. So some ways you guys can co-create healthy conversations with a partner is to first of all, listen to this podcast. I mean, check it out together. So many of you told me that you listen to this podcast and it helps you build a vocabulary for your desires. It helps you find the right words to talk about sex with your partner. None of us were given this, these tools or this information. And then the more granular, specific you can get with what you want, whether it's a specific sex act or a vibe you want to try, the better you're going to be able to articulate this with your partner. So, like I said, I know a lot of people listen to Sex with Emily. They play in the background and like, oh, did you see that Emily just said that, you know, couples who communicate have better sex, or couples who date night, you know, have much better healthy communication. So things like that could facilitate these conversations in a lot easier ways, so you're not just starting blind. I think the thing about listening to a podcast together is it just less threatening to hear other people say it. And then you're like, oh, well, if they are doing that, well, I don't feel so weird about it. It's a great way if your partner says, why are you asking me to do this? Why do you want to talk about sex? Just say, well, I've been listening to the Sex Positive Show, and it's encouraged me that if we have these conversations, it really could be a game changer, and it actually could be really hot. So I want to remind you all that talking about sex and communicating about sex is actually really sexy and hot, and a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the worry just melts away. And the next thing you can do is let your partner know, like, I am so into you. Here's are all the ways that I love you and I love your sex life. But would you mind helping me figure out what I'm super into? And this speaks to those of you who said, I have no idea what I want. I don't know what I want in bed. I don't know how to express it to a partner. This is what helps you by asking for help and saying, you know, I just have never had a sex talk with a partner and I want you to help me. I would love to do this together. Now, you have to expect pushback too, because remember, a lot of people have never ever talked about sex before, so your partner might hear it as a criticism. If you could explain to them that you view this as part of your growth as a couple and how important it is to you, and that you'd love to help provide them as much pleasure as possible too, you're going to see them come around. So the important thing to know here, it's a culture, not a one-time conversation. Like I said, you're going to keep having little talks like this over and over and over again. I promise you, you will make progress. So it's going to feel better over time. So these conversations are more normalized. Okay. So the final thing is, you guys talked about your inhibitions. You said, like, the fact that you feel self-conscious about letting go in bed and expressing yourself freely, like moaning and moving your body and talking dirty and like all of it, that was uncomfortable. Until you feel super completely comfortable with a partner, it's really hard to let go. And then even when you do a trusting partner, there might be some latent shame with expressing yourself. I mean, one of you wrote me to say that you were worried you'd look at yourself differently the next day after trying something new or risque. So for this one, I think the tips above are going to help, like finding other people doing it, creating a culture of sex communication. But I also have one amazing, incredible hack that I want to share with you so you can get used to seeing yourself completely immersed in pleasure. The next time you masturbate, I want you to take your phone and flip it on you. And I want you to watch yourself masturbating. Film it. See what it looks like to actually touch yourself. See how it looks to be in ecstasy. What does it look like when you're aroused? As you're approaching orgasm? What's happening in your body? What's happening in your face? Do you remember what's happening in your thoughts? And I promise you, this tip is going to go a long way in dissolving shame around your sexual expression. You know, a lot of us keep this part of us tucked away because we do have shame around it. We're like, I don't like my opes. I don't like how I look when I'm masturbating. I don't want to even capture myself being sexual. But I really feel that once you see yourself actually do this and finished and completely immersed in sexual pleasure, you're going to see, oh, that's not bad. And in fact, I look really hot, which I know is kind of meta, because then you can like film yourself masturbating and then watch yourself masturbating, which is going to be like a huge friggin' turn on. So I really hope that some of these tips help you cultivate an authentic sexual confidence. And a lot of this takes place outside the bedroom, which is totally cool. It's not just like in the bedroom, I'm going to be confident. You got to practice confidence elsewhere. So one thing I had a lot of you write in and tell me that you love your body, but you love it as a verb. You move it. You exercise it. You masturbate. You hydrate your body. You feel so many wonderful things. So I think that's just another great tip for cultivating sexual confidence outside the bedroom, to love on your body with actions, rather than making it all about the mirror. No need to feel insecure. I'll be right back after a quick break for our sponsors. But first, this episode is brought to you by FirmTech. Now, if you listen to the show, you know that sex toys feel good on all bodies, no matter your genitals. You hear me? We'll get that out of the way. But for penis owners specifically, I love recommending penis rings, because here's the deal with penis rings. They help maintain erections, they control your ejaculation, and they make sex feel amazing. Well, FirmTech has two exciting innovations on penis rings. First is their tech ring. Get this. Think of it as a Fitbit, but for your penis. It has built-in sensors that tracks and monitors your vital signs. So it's providing you with really valuable insights into your sexual health. It'll tell you how many nocturnal erections you have, the strength and duration of your erections. How cool is that? If I had a penis, I would be wearing this all the time. You know how important your health is. It's the second pillar of sexual intelligence that I write about in my book, Smart Sex. The other one they have is their performance ring. So unlike other penis rings, FirmTech's performance ring has this really cool patented loop and hook design that allows you to put on while you're flaccid or erect. So for penis owners, if you struggle with, let's say, erection challenges or premature ejaculation, their performance ring can help you maintain the spontaneity of your sex life and make your orgasms more intense, which who doesn't want that? So don't wait. Go to FirmTech.com right now. Use code EMILY20 at checkout and save 20% off your order. That's FirmTech.com. Use code EMILY20 at checkout for 20% off. And let me mention, great gift for all the penis owners in your life. All right, everyone, I'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code EMILY. That's EMILY at hero.co.
Hi, this is Andy in Lakewood, Colorado. I'm 44. My girlfriend doesn't think that she's attractive enough, and she's not, that's why her libido is kind of low. She doesn't feel really attractive. I think she's amazing, and I'm ready to pounce on her any chance she gives me. So I try to tell her how beautiful she is. I try to touch her and be slow and take my time and let her know how gorgeous she is and how wonderful she is to me. But she tends to get nervous and want to rush through sex or doesn't want to have sex at all. And she says because she doesn't think she's beautiful enough. I know she has to convince herself of that, but I just would like to help her. I want her to know that I don't see her that way. I see her as absolutely amazing. And any work she wants to do for herself, I support. I encourage her to have self-compassion and not be so critical of herself. Anyways, my question is, how can I be a loving, supportive mate for her? I appreciate your podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So Andy, let me say this. First off, thank you so much for leaving your question. And compliments can be very difficult, especially if she's not feeling good in her own skin. So you want to value her opinion and her perspective around this. So you just want to make like flippant comments, you know, like, oh, babe, but I think you're so beautiful. Because that can come across as really dismissive. You're not there to fix your partner. I think many of us fall into that category of like, I'm going to fix them. I love them so much. I'm going to make them feel better. Their self-esteem and their confidence is going to come from them doing things that make themselves feel better, from them engaging in activities that help build their confidence. And so if they're relying on an external source for their happiness, that means that their self-esteem is based on the opinions of others, which is really like shaky ground, which is why we have to continually in life find things that we can do, that we feel adept at, that we can feel successful at. It is a process. Also, like helping someone build their self-esteem just from your words, which obviously like you should still tell your partner all the things that you love about them. but it really is a job, an inside job, something that we have to work on with affirmations and flipping our script and the messages that we tell ourselves to be a little bit more accurate and positive. It can also help to do activities together that would build confidence. Maybe it's doing stuff that she loves and she can kind of show you areas that she thrives in and sort of, you know, maybe you guys are taking a class together, or you're working out, or you have a workout goal, you know, where there's like a 360 holistic connection that's not just involving activities in the bedroom. And you could also help her think of a new perspective around her body and her appearance. You can help her, you can facilitate it, but you're not going to be the one who's actually making that change, which can be an interesting distinction. And I know that it's really hard to be in a loving relationship with someone that you love, but they are not loving on themselves. They're just constantly like berating themselves and hating themselves. And it can be really, really painful. So mindfulness is important, and it sounds like you're there. Constantly practicing being in the present moment. Meditation helps with this. Breathing helps with it. Because remember, when we are present in the moment, we can't possibly be anxiously worrying about what's going to happen in the future or regretting and have shame about the past. We are present. So the more we can bring ourselves back to the moment and that authentic connection to a partner, the more likely we are to start to build that confidence and self-esteem and self-worth over time. All right, everybody, I hope you're taking notes on that. It's a practice, but a really important one.
Hi, Dr. Emily. My name is Ruth, and I'm in California. I have a question for you around building confidence and understanding what it is that I truly want from sex and intimacy. I am 29 and a female. I have not had an intimate relationship with anybody. Casual sex has not been a great experience, and that boundaries weren't really respected, and different religious things or communities that I grew up in sort of kept me from exploring. But I've also recently been involved with FetLife and realized how kinky and erotic my fantasies are. And so now I'm torn between the life that I've lived for 29 years and not having sex really, to like being interested in some really kinky things and just how to go about, you know, like, do I start hooking up? Do I wait for a relationship? Do I look for a relationship in this community instead of what I thought I wanted? And those sorts of things. So if you have any advice on how to navigate clarity around the sexual relationships I'm looking for, that would be great. Thanks so much.
All right, Ruth. So I just want to normalize the fact that you're on this journey. You're 29 years old, and I love that you've actually been doing the work to figure out what you do like. You tried some casual sex. You joined FetLife, which is a great community for people looking for alternative sexual experiences and lifestyles. And you realize, like, wow, I've got some kinky and erotic fantasies, which is fantastic. So many people don't know even what kind of fantasies turn them on, and now you know. So as far as your practical questions about the next steps, like, now what? Now I know. What do? I say you're already built into this natural community of FetLife, and there's probably other ones in your area. A lot of people like Feeld, F-E-E-L-D, which is another app that can kind of help you sort of find people who might be looking for alternative kinds of relationships and who might be looking for play parties in your area, and see, like, do you find someone you're aligned with that also aligns to your kinky fantasies? And then maybe you will find a relationship from there. But I think the, like, should I be with a partner? Should I be with community? And this goes for all of you to try to define it exactly. Like, I know I'm always saying get clear on what kind of person you want to date. But what I mean by that is, how do they treat you? What do you do on the weekends? What are their values? Do you share them? What's your sex life like? Like, that's a little bit different than the part about, like, is it a relationship? Is it not? I think when you find your people, when you find your person, you're going to know what to do next. So let's just focus on what kind of traits and values and experiences and personality types that you jive with the best. And then go to seek those partners. Practice being really open and communicative about what kind of kinks you're into and what your fantasy life looks like. And then you'll be able to, like, pare down and then hone in on what kind of people you might want to date or be with. So I think that it's just taking time to figure out what you do want and then the answers will indeed evolve on how to execute on this kind of relationship. You know, you might find a relationship, I hope, that fulfills all of the needs. Someone who supports your boundaries. You know, they're into kinky, hot, consensual sex. I want you to have all of that. And I think you're going to find it now that you've even gotten even more clear on what you're into. But there's a lot of different ways to have sex, to be in relationship. But the more we can kind of do research, be involved in different communities, and then actually like sit down and write about it or journal, just like what felt right to me about everything I've learned. We got to keep refining and honing and just getting clear, getting clear, getting clear. And then that's how you're going to attract that person to you and also know to find that person when you're out there so you can weed out the people that aren't right and just move towards the people that are right for you. All right. Thanks for your question. I really appreciate it, Ruth. This is from Elena, 21 in New York. Hi, Dr. Emily. I'm having a bit of a dilemma regarding sexual insecurity. I came into college having never had a boyfriend or much sexual experience, and early into college, I got into a relationship. Well, I was no way pressured by the guy about sex. I thought I was too old to be a virgin. I was 18, and we were quickly sexually active. We had sex a few times, none of which were particularly enjoyable for me, and then he broke up with me. After the breakup, he was vocal with our mutual friends about how unfun I was sexually and how the new girls he was with were much freakier. While I know this isn't an uncommon experience, it affected me more than I care to admit, and I slowly retreated from sex, with the pandemic really solidifying this. Now at age 21, I've never been with anyone else. I've recently been trying to get out there more and have been active on dating apps and going on dates. And while I'm very confident about my appearance and know I'm a catch, I'm super insecure about my sexual abilities. Through a lot of experience with my own body, I have a pretty good idea of what I like, but I want it to be a fun experience with a guy and don't want to be deemed boring. I also don't want my lack of experience to be apparent or be an issue at the moment. Any tips for feeling more confident sexually for very little experience and 4-year drought? Or resources to learn from stuff and feel a little more skilled. Thanks, Dr. Emily. I love the pod. All right, Elena, thank you so much for this question. And oh God, this is so relatable. I mean, anyone else go to college at 18 and feel like, oh my God, at 18, I've never had sex before. I should just go have sex and figure it out. I mean, how are you supposed to know? How are you supposed to know what you like and what you're into? And I am sorry that you got such a disparaging comment from a guy that you dated, because that can really set you back, and it clearly has set you back. I mean, how many of us can relate to that one comment about someone saying like, you're a bad kisser, or your body's not my type, or even hearing a rumor they talked about you? This can just be so devastating. But what we can do, you know, that's, you know, when you feel the feels, it sounds like you have. And for a lot of us, we just have to let that go and replace it with some really mindful work about feeling good in our bodies. Now, you know that I love masturbation, because masturbation really helps you feel in control and feel confident about what your body needs, what you're into, what turns you on, and you can communicate that with a partner. And that also helps to keep your sexual energy flowing. So again, you feel ready to go with any action that might come your way, but you also move through the world with this energy in your body, like, I am sexually satisfied in my body and feeling good. I love positive affirmations. I actually do them every morning, and that can really just trick our minds, like knowing that we're freaking hot, we are fierce. Some examples can be is the more I accept the way I look and I love, the more I will love myself. You know, the more self-love I give, I will become more loving and more lovable. I am a sexual being deserving of pleasure. You know, honestly, you guys, if you are somebody who has played with negative self-talk, if you just put it on your notes and your phone, or you listen to some apps, I think it's really fun to wake up in the morning and like recite these affirmations. That's really helpful. You can also move these into the mirror work I talked about. Also, like, the more you actually look at your body, the more you're going to grow to accept it. It's going to just become more normalized and a little bit more relaxing for you to look at yourself. And I don't care, you could be naked, you'd be clothed, but take time to like admire yourself and watch the way you move through the world and how you look could really help ground you and also help you get a little bit more confidence in this area. This whole notion that a lot of you have about experience, like, well, my partner is way more experienced than I do. First, I'm telling you, someone could have sex with a lot more people than you have. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily like a good lover or an attentive lover. You could have sex with so many people, but it doesn't mean that you know how to be present, how to communicate, how to be a conscious lover. and how to be a mindful lover. In fact, to me, that is a really rare skill set. And so every time you are with a new lover, you have the opportunity to start again, to connect with them, to pay attention. What are they into? What turns them on? To have healthy conversations. So I can just guarantee here too, and also to our email, Elena, and to everyone listening, like no one is sitting there comparing you. I know you had a really bad experience when you were 18, but as adults now, and as you've matured, I think you're going to find more lovers who are really excited to connect with you in the moment and figure out how you can co-create a really hot sexual experience. I want you to try to release this old story about what this guy said and did and replace it with a new narrative that you'd like to hear. I am a beautiful lover accepting of great pleasure. I give and receive love easily. Just whatever those things might be, to continually say those, work on yourself and show up as a present conscious lover for what's next. So you're asking for resources to learn some stuff about it as well. And I think that these are some resources here that we've provided. We also have a great show that we did called First Date, First Orgasm, First Threesome, which we'll put in the show notes, which can also kind of give you some perspective on like, we're all in this together. A lot of us worry about all these firsts that we got to come out shining and know what we're doing. And, we necessarily don't, but I give you tips for this as well in the episode. So when you're with a new partner, it's also great to communicate how you're feeling. Like, I'm feeling a little rusty. I haven't done this in a while, but I'm so turned on. I've been spending a lot of time on myself, pleasing myself, but, you know, just kind of saying it. So you don't have to worry about it too. Because I'm telling you, you have one partner that's negative. Most of us don't have like 15 partners who've said shitty things to us. Usually it's just one. So that's the good part. Most partners that you choose are going to be loving, supportive partners who want the best for you truly. And they're going to get off on your pleasure. So that's the kind of partners we're all looking for. And remember, if your partner or anybody you're with says something that makes you feel bad, you get to number one, choose that you're not going to internalize it, that that's their story. It's about their own things. And number two, decide that you're not going to be with this person anymore and you're not going to surround yourself with these kind of people. Period. End of story. So I don't want you to go through that again. I don't want any of you to go through that again. So be aware of the people you're with. Are they making you feel supported? Are they kind? Are they loving? Are they accepting you where you're at? And do you feel safe to explore and go a little bit deeper? That's what I want for you. All of you. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.